Well, good morning once again. Hopefully that last hymn got us awake and certainly in the spirit, worshiping our great God and Savior. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 will serve as our text this morning. There's also a companion paper that goes along with the sermon, which is available at the table, since most of these words which you'll be hearing this morning are words straight out of the book. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Jesus himself prayed, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Now these are beautiful verses on unity. We are all called to Christian unity, but the other side, the other end of the spectrum, is biblical separation. So we have Christian unity on one side and biblical separation on the other, and we are called to practice both. Some have taken these verses alone to justify ecumenism. In other words, to seek the unity of all stripes of professing Christians. These folks do not understand that the unity which is enjoined by the Lord is limited to those who hold to the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. What unity have we with those who deny the very deity of Christ? What unity have we with those who approach God through mediators other than the one appointed mediator, Jesus Christ? What unity have we with those who adulterate the gospel? Therefore, Jesus himself also prays, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And the same Paul who penned the words in Ephesians also calls God-fearing Bible believers to practice biblical separation, saying, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." All of this notwithstanding, let us be careful that we don't move too far to the other extreme, factioning ourselves off from like-minded brethren. Can we not strive for the bond of peace even amongst our own congregation in which God has placed us? In our text, we have a sevenfold oneness. This morning, we shall take each one in turn. One body. The church is the body of Christ. Now, in the early church, the tendency was to separate along ethnic lines. You had the Jews, the Samaritans, and the Gentiles. In our culture, we often separate along the lines of white and black and Spanish. Worse still, the sons of Rehoboam, whose youths have decided that they can do church better than their fathers and the apostles, have done much to separate along generational lines, depriving themselves of godly role models and depriving the church of a full measure of generational unity. The Lord has called us to a oneness in Christ based upon our common faith, the seven ones, which transcends ethnicity, skin color, national origin, and age. Regarding salvation, all believers have equal access to God the Father through God the Son. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, if you belong to Him, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is true of salvation, but we all have different functions in the church, the body of Christ. Paul often used this analogy. We find it in the 12th chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians. We also find it in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. One Spirit. This refers to God, the Holy Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. All Christians are partakers of his blessings, God's blessings, Father, Son, and Spirit, and have access to the help of God the Holy Spirit when they ask for it. Sometimes we don't have help because we don't ask. One hope. All believers have the certain hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Therefore, we have an exceedingly positive future in spite of our present difficulties and trials. A curmudgeon Christian is an oxymoron. Let us not walk around with long faces, complaining about our lot in life, when our hope is greater and above all that we could have dreamed and imagined. Let us not be curmudgeons, neither shall we be utterly despairing. Yeah, we have our trials. We struggle with many things. Some Christians even fight their battle with depression. Job and Paul are a couple good examples of this. But you know what? They fight their battle in God's strength. And though they are crushed down at certain points, at certain times, on certain issues, they never despaired. Neither shall we. One Lord. Friends, we're on the same team. Therefore, let us cease our petty complaints, sacrificing our pride and jealousies for the sake of team success. I often wonder that the church room has less unity than the bar room. Let me ask you this. Does the local congregation, does the church, get along better than the cast of Cheers on the television show? I think they ought to. Let's each do our part in that regard. Not looking at everybody else, but at our own conduct. One faith. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's you. Not just me. It's all of us. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And Jesus said, go. What part of go might confuse us? Is it the G or the O? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we see that the impetus, that one faith, is God's word. The effect of faith is belief unto righteousness. And the evidence of faith is confession unto salvation. All of the answers are in this book, right in the scriptures. We need look no further. One baptism. Now, the Apostle Paul is not talking about water baptism here in the context, but he's talking about Holy Spirit baptism. That is something that is done by God the Son. Did John the Baptist not say that he, the Messiah, would baptize with the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit baptism identifies us with and joins us to the body of Christ. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. See how beautiful the Word of God is? And this is from 1 Corinthians 12. We got three of them right there. One Spirit, one baptism, one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Those who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ receive His Spirit and its fruit, which is Holy Spirit baptism. the guaranteed eternal inheritance. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The word of truth was given by God. The gospel of salvation was given by God. The conviction of our hearts was the work of God and the keeping of God's benefits, namely his salvation, is also the work of God. One God and Father of all. This is the seventh one in our text. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And in conclusion, we shall let the Lord have the last word. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart, that the Lord himself is God in heaven above, and on the earth beneath there is no other. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the elementary truths of the faith. We thank you for scriptures such as these that we have considered this morning, which bring us back to the brass tacks. May we never be so caught up in the minors of the faith that we miss meditating upon the beauty of the majors. May we never take our salvation for granted. And Lord, if there be any who may have had some misconceptions about the Christian faith, or who have not yet received the gracious hope which you so freely offer, may your word this morning, which is able to penetrate the heart, do its thing. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives, for all that you continue to do. And may we walk away rejoicing with joy unspeakable, even in spite of the troubles, trials, and temptations which we must bear through, knowing that we are partakers of the one hope, that our sojourn on this earth is but for a little while, And then, eternal glory, awaiting all of those who simply believe and receive your truth, your word, your Son, Jesus. Amen.